Therefore, first of all, I will beg for forgiveness from Maharaj and his disciples for not complying to his request properly. And I'll also request everyone, all Maharaj's disciples, please, if there is any way I can help you, please do not hesitate to let me know. This movement actually gives us the spiritual understanding about the eternity of the soul. Once, when our servant Prabhupada in Vrindavan, a few weeks before Srila Prabhupada left the planet, I used to cook for Srila Prabhupada. And one day, although Prabhupada was not eating anything, but still I cooked, thinking that maybe someday Srila Prabhupada would like to eat something. And Srila Prabhupada also, maybe just to encourage me or reciprocate my endeavor for cooking for him, he used to come and he couldn't eat. He just would sit there on his asana in front of the plate. And one day Prabhupada told me that, why are you wasting your time cooking for me? You can see that I can't eat. So you don't cook for me from now on. And at that time I told Prabhupada, I cook with an expectation that maybe someday you get some appetite and you feel like eating. And Prabhupada said, I will get well only when I die. And that expression came so strongly, shocked me so much, I just broke down. And Prabhupada, then in a very soft and soothing way, he told me, is this what you learned from me? Is this what I taught you? Didn't I teach you that the spirit soul is immortal, the spirit soul is eternal? And he mentions the body, but that is just like changing the dress. So that is the essential teaching that we receive in Krishna consciousness. We understand that the soul, the spirit soul, is the actual person. The body, material body, the external body is just a covering. And the actual identity of all of us is spiritual. And the spirit soul never dies. It simply transmigrates from one body to another. And for pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, when he leaves his body, he goes back to the spiritual sky. So this is our understanding. And in our relationship also, we understand that there are two types of relationship between disciples and spiritual master. The spiritual master is manifest in two ways. One is in the form of his vapu, in his physical form. In that form, we can see him, we can relate to him, we can receive instructions from him. And the other aspect of the spiritual master is the vapu, vani, his instructions. Now, vapu is temporary. Vapu is transient, but the vani is eternal. And the actual relationship between spiritual master and disciple is in the form of the vani. In that form, the spiritual master is eternally present in the heart of the disciple, as he carries on, carries out his instructions, he is in direct contact with him. And it is important that you understand that. Like in the initial stage, we need the vocal association of the spiritual master. But as we make advancement, then we associate with the spiritual master in the form of his body and through his instructions. Through his instructions, we remain in constant communication with him, constant contact with him. And we have seen when Srila Prabhupada left, our world became completely empty. I was serving Srila Prabhupada, and practically we had to be with Srila Prabhupada 24 hours a day. Or in simple words, I would rather say that our days actually used to revolve around Srila Prabhupada. All the time with Srila Prabhupada, and just snatching a little sleep here and there, finding some time to take some prasad, but the rest of the time it's just with Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada left the planet, my life became completely empty, because all I knew is Srila Prabhupada and my service to Srila Prabhupada. So it was very, very difficult at that time. But then gradually I began to realize how Srila Prabhupada is there. I remember the initial feeling that I had or started to have after Srila Prabhupada left the planet. And I started to overcome that separation from Srila Prabhupada to some extent. And I started to get a feeling that just as a mother, sometimes in order to make the child learn how to walk, hides behind the curtain, and the child, in order to search for the mother, he begins to walk. He forgets about his inability to walk. He just starts to look for his mother, and of course he just begins to walk. And I had a kind of realization that in order to make us stand on our own feet and start to walk on the spiritual path, Srila Prabhupada just is hiding behind the curtain. And any moment Prabhupada will just appear and this is how Srila Prabhupada actually is helping us to become properly situated in our spiritual life. That was one of the first realizations I had. And then I began to realize that, yes, Prabhupada is watching me. Although I cannot see him, Srila Prabhupada is watching me. He is seeing me. And Srila Prabhupada is watching and seeing how much I am committing myself to him, to his lotus feet, how much I am following his instructions, how much I have made his instructions as my life and soul. And then once I had a wonderful realization, it just occurred to me that once I was told by some devotees, I was not a member of ISKCON at the time, long time ago, when Prabhupada came to Mayapur with his Western devotee disciples, Prabhupada just drove straight to Mayapur temple without stopping at the Samadhi of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur. And some of his godbrothers criticized him that, oh, he didn't even stop at his Guru Maharaj's samadhi, he just drove by. When that news reached to Śrīla Prabhupāda, Prabhupāda responded by saying, do they think that I am ever separated from my spiritual master? I am always with my spiritual master. And that is the situation of a pure devotee. That's the situation of an advanced devotee. Like, as we make spiritual advancement, we recognize our inseparable connection with our spiritual masters. And it's a test also. It's a test because we have seen after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, so many of his disciples left the movement. It's unfortunate, but it was a test, like Prabhupada, as if Prabhupada was testing that, well, you are saying so eloquently how much you love me, how much you care for me. Now let us see how valid that claim is. And unfortunately, weaker devotees fail to recognize the presence of the spiritual master in his body. And that is how the spiritual master is eternally present with the disciple in his heart. The spiritual master is not different from the super soul. He is in the heart. And in one hand, he is a super soul internally, and externally, he manifests himself as the spiritual master. And as a spiritual master, he pushes the devotee to go internalize himself and recognize his presence, Krishna's presence, and the entire spiritual sky in the heart. So that is the challenge that the spiritual master leaves behind when he disappears from the planet. Let us see how sincere you are. Let us see how earnest is your claim of eternally being self-surrendered to me. How genuine is your claim for your love for me. And in this way, we should never ever feel that we are ever separated from the spiritual master. Just as the super soul is a spirit in the heart, the spiritual master already manifested himself externally. Now we have to recognize the presence of the spiritual master in the heart, who is none other than the super soul. And he is a Chaitanya Guru. He is the spiritual master in the heart, who is guiding us in our consciousness, who is guiding us on our spiritual path. And at that stage, we are never ever separated from our spiritual master. Very wonderfully, Srila Prabhupada has created ISKCON. Therefore, the losses of the spiritual master sometimes is compensated by the wonderful arrangement, the association of devotees, guidance of senior devotees, and the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. So this is how we can always feel wonderful protection. It doesn't matter whether it's something like the loss of the spiritual master is something like losing the father. And yes, father may leave, But the uncles are there, aunts are there, cousins are there. So we are in this family. And on top of everything, our grandfather is there. Srila Prabhupada is there. And Srila Prabhupada will always be there. It's not that when they disappear, they're gone. That is our frailty. That is our lack of faith. That is our lack of spiritual understanding. So we have to recognize that now, although the spiritual master has disappeared from our vision, but the spiritual master is always there. He is watching us. We may not see him, but he is watching us. He is seeing how we are conducting ourselves. And when we see that we are following his instructions, we are serving his mission, we are serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada, he'll be very, very pleased. And then, from within, he'll give us the realization. And ultimate realization actually comes from within. Dibhogyan, the transcendental realization, transcendental knowledge, Hriday Prakashita becomes manifest in the heart by the mercy of the spiritual master. So we commit ourselves to the spiritual master, we serve him, we follow his instruction, we commit ourselves completely to his lotus feet, and as a result of that, he reciprocates from within by giving us a transcendental knowledge, which comes in the form of revelation. It's a revelation. It's not some intellectual understanding which is grasped by your brain. It is actually a revelation in the heart. Just like we have seen in Brahma Samhita, Brahma, when he perceived Krishna, actually he was meditating and he saw Krishna in the heart. And that is actually the Brahma Samhita, the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita, verse 29-56. He is actually seeing the spiritual sky. He is seeing Krishna in the spiritual sky. It is direct perception. So that is how, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the transcendental knowledge is revealed in our heart. Revealed. It's a revelation. We become transported to the spiritual sky. And the gateway to that spiritual sky is our heart. And it will happen gradually. Already so many wonderful devotees of Srila Prabhupada, wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada have left the planet. Gaur Govinda Maharaj was the first one to leave. And Tamakrishna Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj, Bhakti Sardamda Maharaj, Bhakti Pita Maharaj. And although it is painful, although it is beyond our understanding why Krishna at a time like this, when they were actually ready to offer so much, when they could offer so much to this movement, they could have done so much to spread this movement all over the world. Why all of a sudden Krishna takes them away? I felt that very intensely when Tamakrishna Maharaj left. Tamakrishna Maharaj finished his studies and doctoral thesis, almost completed, and he was actually planning to get involved. For a few years, Maharaj was not so actively involved, and then he went to Mayapur, he attended the GBC meeting after a few years, and on his way to Calcutta from that meeting, he just left. I couldn't comprehend that. I couldn't understand what Krishna wanted to do. Like, he was such an illustrious leader of our movement. And he achieved so much, and he could have achieved so much more for our movement. And all of a sudden, literally all of a sudden, Krishna was taken away. And of course we have to accept that Krishna always has a plan. We may think that it was important that Ramakrishna Maharaj continued on this planet, but really Krishna decided that he should go and help him on some other planet. So Krishna's desire, Krishna's will prevails. Similarly, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, all of a sudden, he just disappeared. He couldn't understand why. He was so full of life, we couldn't really cope up with him. Like when he would dance in Ratha Yatra festival, generally Ratha Yatras take place in during the summertime. It was quite hot in America, some places in America. And Maharaj would just dance and chant for hours together. I remember the last time I saw him was, I mean dancing, was in Toronto Ratha Yatra. It was just before, a couple of weeks before he went to Detroit, where actually he developed his ailment. And he went to a doctor and it was diagnosed that he had cancer. Like, it was just a couple of weeks before that. And Maharaj was dancing with playing this drum. And at times he was leading the kirtan, but he didn't stop dancing. And his whole body was drenched in sweat. I mean, it looked as if he just came out of the bathroom after having a shower. He was drenched completely with sweat. And I was envying him. I was thinking, how could you do that? I wish I could. I wish I had that kind of energy. I wish I had that kind of enthusiasm and commitment and taste for the holy name. And then two weeks after that, we just get the news that Maharaj had. And when I heard that he actually got melanoma cancer, I thought, okay, melanoma is a minor thing, it's a skin cancer, it's not really that serious. That was my first impression. But then we saw that Maharaj's condition deteriorated gradually. But he set such a wonderful example. Maharaj's whole life is such a wonderful, such a glorious example for all who will take the path of spiritual life, who will take the path of devotional service. Often I feel very convinced that Srila Prabhupada actually came to fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada was actually sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the perfect arrangement for Srila Prabhupada to achieve this inconceivable achievement. Like within 10 years' time, Krishna consciousness movement is spread all over the world. It's Prabhupada himself used to say, people talk about miracle, let them perform miracle like that. Let them spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Let them make devotees all over the world who never had any understanding of the Supreme Personality of God. Let them make people, those who did not have any commitment, any understanding of Krishna, completely surrender themselves to Krishna. And that is the most amazing thing that Srila Prabhupada achieved. Like within a short span of 10 years' time. Although prior to that, you can see that practically for 40 years, Srila Prabhupada, 44 years to be more precise, Prabhupada was just struggling to spread this movement. Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922, And from 22 to 66, this 40 years is an incredible struggle. The moment, the day Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur told him to spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world through English language, Srila Prabhupada actually took that to his heart, that very first instruction that he received from his spiritual master, the very first meeting. He made that his life and soul. He quit his job, he committed himself to spirit, to fulfill that instruction of his spiritual master. But what we find, for 44 years, Prabhupada was struggling and struggling without any, practically any success. And yeah, it's a series of failures, so to say. But then Prabhupada goes to America in 65, and in 66 he establishes this company. And then what happened in this 10 years' time is an amazing history. Krishna consciousness movement spread in such an amazing way. Srila Prabhupada, we can see, Srila Prabhupada was taken to America at a time when the field was perfectly set for Prabhupada to go there and spread Krishna consciousness. America, after the Second World War, reached the height of its material prosperity. America was experiencing an inconceivable abundance. But in spite of this material success, the youth of America were totally disappointed. They saw that money cannot buy love. They got money, but they didn't get love. What their hearts were actually hankering for. Then along with that came, in one hand, there's an inconceivable material prosperity, but at the same time, Vietnam War. The young Americans were drafted to join the army and fight in Vietnam and give their lives. And the youth of America started to wonder, why should we give up our lives for no rhyme or reason in a distant country? And as a result of that started the counterculture and the search for a positive alternative. And we see they were trying to search for that positive alternative through many of the youth of America at the time, if not most of the youth of America at the time. They were searching for the positive alternative through sex and drugs. And at a time like that, Srila Prabhupada went to America in the mid-60s, at the height of the counterculture. And Srila Prabhupada gave them what they were searching for. And those who were sincere, they could recognize that. They came to Srila Prabhupada. And they helped Srila Prabhupada to spread this movement all over the world. From 67 onwards, it's just one after another center opening up. 66 was 26 Second Avenue, 67, Haight Ashbury, San Francisco, then Boston, and then London, one after another center started to open. These young American boys and girls just went to the remote corners of the world and started to spread Krishna consciousness. Now, it becomes quite clear that Krishna not only set the field for Srila Prabhupada to spread this movement, Krishna actually sent his men to assist Srila Prabhupada in this movement. Those devotees who joined Srila Prabhupada those days and took this incredible responsibility of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world were not ordinary living entities. They were sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to assist Srila Prabhupada. And undoubtedly, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is one of them. And you can see, it's such a wonderful life. Like, Krishna sent them to fulfill certain mission. And if you take Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, we can see that Krishna made him take birth in an African American family. Was brought up, actually, those days, it was very difficult for African Americans. But we can see that he was so different from most of the young boys of his time in those areas, in that environment. And one thing we notice that once Prabhupada told that when Krishna sent him, Krishna made all the arrangements for Srila Prabhupada. And we can see that Krishna made this wonderful arrangement for Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Like, although born in a rather poverty-stricken condition, but here he has such a wonderful, loving mother, caring mother. And it is very important that the children get the love and affection of the mother. Because the more they get that love and affection from the mother, the stronger becomes their character. More upright becomes the character. Like, that's why it's very important that the children gets mother's love and affection in the childhood. So we can see that Maharaj was brought up in such a loving and caring atmosphere of his mother. That's why he was different from anybody else. And such a brilliant person. And brilliant person in the sense people could see how brilliant he was. Like at one time when Maharaj was giving coaching classes, there was a very affluent white girl who was also giving. She was doing that service as a kind of a help to the community. And he saw Maharaj, that such a brilliant person. She could detect that. She could recognize that brilliance in Maharaj. And what does she do? She goes to the private school where she was connected to. She was a student. And appeals to the principal to admit him in the school. And the principal complied to that request. Maharaj was admitted in one of the best schools in that area, where the children from very affluent families actually go. So we can see how wonderfully Krishna made all the arrangements for him. Although he was born in an apparently poverty-stricken condition, but Krishna took care of him. Irrespective of in what condition he was born, he was given the best of facilities. As a student, he got that facility in the school. Then when he finished his school, high school, he got admitted in, I think he got placement in, or scholarship, in 3 or 4 Ivy League colleges. He could have gone to Harvard. He could have gone to Stanford. But he decided to go to Princeton. Why? Because Princeton, along with the scholarship, was giving the facility to fly back and forth during the vacation to the country. So he decided that he would accept that facility, and that's why he went to Princeton. But later on he realized that he made a mistake, because Princeton was predominantly Southern rednecks, children from the redneck families, those who hate the blacks. And he had to struggle through that. Although he was very, very peaceful, but he's carrying a gun with him to meet with that challenge. And then what you find, not only he comes up with brilliant result, but he becomes the leader of the students' union in that college in Princeton. And he actually wanted to be a diplomat. But Krishna had other plans. Krishna made him the transcendental diplomat. He brought him to Srila Prabhupada. And just the first encounter, and he was sold out to Srila Prabhupada. I'm sure all of you know the wonderful life of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. The Black Lotus, what a beautiful book. And Maharaj then commits himself to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And we have seen the way Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj served Srila Prabhupada's mission is an incredible service. Literally, he committed himself completely to Srila Prabhupada's mission. He risked his life, he committed his time, he gave everything, underwent so many difficulties. Like those days, to go to Russia behind the Iron Curtain could have been very, very dangerous, and at least for an American. Because America was the arch enemy of Russia. And for an American to be there in such a condition, the way Maharaj was, hiding and doing things in a very, very suspicious way, like, it could have been, I mean, if he was arrested, then no one knows what could have happened to him. What the Russian government would have done. I mean, the Russian government, the communist government, were extremely brutal. Extremely brutal. But he risked his life. He didn't care. His mission was let Krishna consciousness movement spread. No one went to Russia. No one went to these East European countries. No one dared to go behind the Iron Curtain. So he went. And he started to spread this mission of Srila Prabhupada there. For days together, he was just spending his days and nights in the trains. Like, he didn't have a place to stay. Like, in Russia, you don't get youth hostels. In Russia, even those days, you didn't get cheap hotels and things like that. And he couldn't afford it. Like, even to think of it, it seems to be absolutely inconceivable. How could you do that? But he did that, and everybody knows he did that, and how he did that. And of course, Krishna helped him. He used to write to Srila Prabhupada about his preaching. He used to write about 2-3 letters a week. Even in that condition, he used to write to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, those days, was in Vrindavan. It was the last days of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada went to Vrindavan to give up his body to. And at that time, Prabhupada used to eagerly wait for Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's letters. After taking some prasad for lunch, Prabhupada used to keep sitting on his seat. Prabhupada's lunch preparation, lunch arrangement was like a small asana, and there was a small table in front, and there used to serve Srila Prabhupada his silver plate and his lunch on his silver plate. And after lunch, Srila Prabhupada used to sit there, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to bring the letters. And if there was a letter from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, that is the one that he would read the first. And those letters used to describe how wonderfully Krishna is helping him to preach in Russia. And Prabhupada also admitted that those letters give him life. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's letters used to give Prabhupada life those days. Some of the letters, and we also used to sit around there to read. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to read, we used to just sit around Prabhupada and listen. In one letter, he was actually describing how he suspected that he was being chased. He was in a university, and he just opened the door. He saw one name, so he understood that that must be some important faculty member's chamber. So he opened the door and just stepped in. And he was so quick-witted, like he started to speak that person, saying in English, naturally, saying that he came according to the appointment he had. And it so happened that professor used to know English, and he could communicate with him, and he said, no, I didn't have any appointment. And he just fabricated a story how he had an appointment and he came, and the person actually accepted it and started to talk to him. And then what did Maharaj do? Maharaj sold him a standing order. Standing order means like a few books are published from Bibichi, and one actually signs the contract that as the books come out, they'll not only buy all the books that are available now, but in future, they will buy all the books. So he sold that standing order to this person. And because he was quite high up in the university, he could just place the order. And this is how exciting his days were in behind the Iron Curtain. And he was such a wonderful personality. Once Mukunda Maharaj commented, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would simply have, we were sitting together, and he had such a winning smile. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Mukunda Maharaj commented that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj doesn't have to speak to preach, he simply has to smile. and their hearts will melt. And it's true, like, he was a person who was so liked by everyone. He was so brilliant, so talented. And there was a need for that. Like, there in America, yes, many devotees were there and they were preaching. But to convince or to motivate the African Americans, there was a need for someone like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He was so brilliant, so charismatic. Even I've seen so many very, very powerful and influential individuals had been totally enamored by Maharaj. I remember when Arjun Das, Frank Ward was in South Africa during South Africa's independence program. That was the first time he actually came across Bhakti Gita Maharaj. And he was telling me, I'm sure he must have told others as well, that Maharaj's lecture there just captivated the entire audience. And that audience was not just a few hundred, I mean there were thousands of people. And who all were there? Nelson Mandela, all the big guns of South African movement. And there he had delivered, and he sees, he was telling me, he belongs to that field, so he knows. And he was telling me that he's one of the most brilliant lecturers here. So there is the the brilliance of Maharaj. And we are fortunate that we have been fortunate to have a person like that in the midst. It's unfortunate that when someone is present, we cannot recognize his qualities, or sometimes we don't even want to recognize those qualities because of our envious nature. And only when those personalities leave the planet, then we realize, oh, what a big loss it was. I had the good fortune of being with him, and I squandered that inconceivable opportunity that Krishna created for us. Those last days of Maharaj also were so brilliant. Sometimes I used to phone Maharaj, and I didn't want to. That time I heard about his health condition, but I didn't see him like he was bedridden. So naturally I used to think that he won't be able to speak. So I would just phone and try to find out how Maharaj was. And his servants, as soon as they heard that I'm making the phone call, they would immediately transfer to Maharaj. And I would speak to Maharaj. We would speak for considerable length of time. And he would, I couldn't recognize from his voice, there was no way to recognize that he was in such a difficult physical condition. His voice was absolutely normal. His consciousness was totally unaffected by that physical condition. He was just absolutely normal. And then when I went to see him, then I could see that his physical condition, especially the last few visits, I mean his leg was amputated and he was in a very difficult physical condition, but he was totally unaffected by that. I remember the last visit I went to, I made, was about 5 days before he left the planet. And when I arrived, I found that he is giving dictations. He's answering the letters, giving dictation to his secretary, and she was taking the notes. And he was so happy, in spite of all these physical difficulties, he was totally unaffected by that. And what does it indicate? It indicates that he was not at all affected by his body. He totally transcended his bodily platform. He is perfectly situated in his spiritual identity. He is totally unaffected. At that time, Radhanath Maharaj was there. Radhanath Maharaj had been so caring. He practically dropped everything. And for about 6 weeks, he stayed with Maharaj, giving him association, And that is the sign of real, genuine concern and friendship and affection. Maharaj was there till Maharaj left his body. And after Maharaj left his body, I came and went there. And anyway, we also have to recognize the fact that he is there. He didn't leave. And he's also watching us from the spiritual sky. And as we display our sincerity towards him, he's going to reciprocate. When Maharaj, often I've seen him, or rather, often he appears in a dream. And whenever I had those dreams of him, I experienced a very unusual feeling in the heart. And that gives me an indication that these are not dreams. These are literally meeting him. He came on a plane which is beyond my conscious domain, physical domain, but in some other platform he is reciprocating. And the way to understand, the way to differentiate between just a dream, which is just a mental projection, and the spiritual perception, the perception of a spiritual personality, is identified by a very unique feeling of joy in the heart. Although he has left this planet, he is there with us, and our prayer should be that someday we can meet again. Prabhupada also used to give that kind of indication. Prabhupada said that in the spiritual sky also there is a miskam. Which actually means Prabhupada will be there in the spiritual sky, and his loyal devotees, loyal followers, will also be there in the spiritual sky. And that is Islam in the spiritual sky. Our relationship is not just a temporary affair, temporary happening. These relationships are eternal because they are spiritual. There with Krishna in the center, Srila Prabhupada in the center. The way it is described is, in the spiritual sky also there are groups. They are known as juthas, or groups. And there is a group leader of the group. Like the, for the gopis, that is called, the leader is called Juteshwari, and the cowherd boys groups are known as, the leaders are known as Jutapatis. So Srila Prabhupada is there in the spiritual sky, and he has his group, and he is a Jutapati. And his Juta, his group, is his son. And those who will loyally serve Srila Prabhupada, eventually they will be elevated and will continue to serve Srila Prabhupada and his mission there. And this is how we will meet again, provided we remain sincerely connected to this movement. If we do not deviate, if we continue to serve in Prabhupada's mission in ISKCON under the guidance of Sri Prabhupada, then yes, someday we'll achieve our perfection. This process is the process of spiritual perfection. Once Srila Prabhupada said, ISKCON is an institution for making pure devotees. Once Prabhupada commented that in ISKCON, everyone is a pure devotee. Some devotees were quite surprised that Prabhupada, even the new bhaktas are pure devotees. Even, all the members of ISKCON are pure devotees. And Prabhupada said, yes, it's a matter of green mango and ripe mango. The mango may be green now, but if it remains in the tree, then in course of time it will become ripe mango. So ISKCON is the institution, organization for making pure devotees. If we remain in ISKCON, today we may not be pure, today we may not be ripe, today we may be green mangoes, but if we remain in the tree of ISKCON, then someday we'll become ripe. And when you become purified in this way, after serving in a mission, when the time comes for us to leave the body, yes, Srila Prabhupada will take us back to the spiritual sky. And we have seen, like, so many of our God brothers are clearly indicating that they have achieved that spiritual perfection. Like, sometimes we have seen that some of Prabhupada's disciples are God brothers. They left the movement. They drifted away completely. They became quite degraded. But when they became terminally ill, when they realized that now the time has come for them to leave the body, they just came back to ISKCON. And in the association of the devotees, chanting the holy name, hearing the holy name, they left their bodies. Now when one leaves his body like that, where does he go? When one leaves one's body by chanting the holy name and hearing the holy name in the association of devotees, they go back to the spiritual sky. They cannot be in doubt about it. So we have seen so many of our God brothers are achieving their spiritual perfection in this way. Therefore, those who remain loyal to this movement, they will continue. In this way, they will continue to progress in their spiritual path, and ultimately they will achieve their spiritual perfection, and they will go back to Godhead. And of course, Prabhupada also taught us that our goal is not to go back to Godhead. We are not interested to go back to Godhead. We are simply interested to serve. And when we serve, that is back to Godhead. It may be apparently in a material platform, in a material nature, but if we continue to serve Krishna's mission, Prabhupada's mission, then yes, we are situated in the spiritual sky. Therefore, we don't have to separately aspire for liberation or elevation to the spiritual sky. When you're already there, why should you separately desire for that? And that is a unique aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. It has brought the spiritual sky down to this earth. And those participants of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement are Mahaprabhu's associates. If they continue to serve, because they have come to this Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have joined the Sankirtan movement, they have actually already been included by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his transcendental mission. So they are already in Mahaprabhu Sankirtan, which is not different from the spiritual sky. Therefore, we should continue sincerely, with all sincerity, we should just continue to serve this mission, Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. And the reward will be most wonderfully awarded to us in course of time. Srila Prabhupada came, Prabhupada brought his very, very special associates, as if they are the generals in Prabhupada's army. And these devotees of Srila Prabhupada is going to continue the struggle against Adharma, which is established by Kali, and once again establish Dharma in a perfect way. And that is the meaning of Satyajuga will be re-established in the middle of the Kali Yuga. It will happen. It will happen. And these wonderful leaders of our movement, like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, are our ideal leaders, ideal examples. Our process is Mahajano Janagata Sripanta. We follow the footsteps of the Mahajans. Mahajans are not only those 12 Mahajans. Individuals like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj are Mahajans. And our business is to follow their footsteps. That's why it is very important that we meditate upon their activities and their achievements. Because that will inspire us, motivate us to also become like that. That's the real association. Real association inspires us to become like that. Association only is not only just a physical closeness. Often a bed bug is very close to us. But are they associating? But the real association is to be inspired by the wonderful qualities and become imbibed, become induced by those qualities. One thought came to my mind while I was speaking about Maharaj. How many of you have read The Black Lotus? How many of you have that book? Okay. And if I request you to please read that book, how many of you would like to have it? So, I don't have much time, otherwise I would have given you those books first. Do we have a stock of this? Stock of it? Yeah? We don't. Okay, I'm going to America. How many of you want the books? Please raise your hands. Okay, so at least 25 or more than that, 50? 50? Should I send 50 volumes to you? So please give your name to Buddha Bhavana Prabhu so that he can get the numbers correct, and then I will send the books to America. Please read that book, it's a brilliant book. That also reminds me, like, at one time I was quite involved in making movies, and so whenever I get a good theme, I think in terms of making a movie, and I thought of making a movie on Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's, on Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And the basis, of course, would have been this book, which is a brilliant narration of Maharaj's wonderful biography. And I also lined up one director, and but unfortunately, due to some difficulties, I couldn't continue that mission, but I do have that ambition that someday I'm going to make a movie in Harris's life. And please bless me that I can successfully execute that. For two reasons I couldn't do that, I couldn't embark on the project at that time. One is because I was very, very busy. I couldn't really keep the time. And to make movies, you have to commit yourself completely. You have to forget about everything else. And just for months together, you have to commit yourself to that. A few months to prepare and a couple of months to shoot. That was one difficulty I had, and the other difficulty I had was the funds, because movie making is a very expensive affair. And, but as I said, like someday I would like to do that, because I know that it will make an amazing movie. Because the world, in today's world, there is an acute shortage of heroes. And these are the real heroes. Just by watching them, people will become elevated to such a height. Then they won't become 5'6" anymore. They become 10'10". And that's what we need. Right? These are the heroes. These are the Mahajans. These are the real heroes of this world. These are the real great souls, great personalities. And often I think of Maharaj, and as I said, like, I feel a very deep disappointment within that when he was here, I did not take advantage of his association properly. In ISKCON, that was one unfortunate thing. Like, we become so absorbed in our managerial and other responsibilities that we don't have the time to associate with the senior devotees. And he is... He was such a loving person. Like, to be with him was like being in the middle of a festivity. He also had a very heavy side. Sometimes would be very heavy. But when he became heavy, no one minded. Like, I remember the GBC meeting, sometimes it comes like a ball of fire. He would just jump up and down, you know, shaking his hands and throwing his fist in the air. But after making his point, he would be quiet. If somebody else did that, many would have taken offense, but when Bhagavad Gita did that, no one did it. Because everybody knew how genuine his heart is and how caring and compassionate he is. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki jai. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki jai. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's wonderful followers ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. How many of Maharaj's disciples are here? Please raise your hands. Okay. Anyway, we all are his disciples. And that's how we should see it. Our relationship is not only with our fathers. Our relationship is with all the senior devotees and all the members of his. That's how we have to look at it. And please give your names to Buddha Bhavana Prabhu. Do you know how many, all, do all of you know Bhagavan Prabhu, or do you need any introduction? Bhagavan Prabhu is a wonderful disciple of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. He is another example of devotees in UK. He is one of the most brilliant members of the youth group, and his commitment is so exemplary, just befitting his illustrious Guru Maharaj's. So Buddha Bhavan Guru, how you collect the names, how they will give the names to you, those who want the books. Okay, so Buddha Bhavan Guru is saying that he will be in the reception, and please go and give your names, and if you want to pay in advance, please feel free to do that. And I remember I used to often do that, like get Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's books, and after the class I used to distribute them. And he has written many books. How many? 14 now? 14 volumes. And so please read the book and follow his wonderful example, and try to imbibe all these wonderful qualities that he had. I didn't want to say he had, so he has, because he's still there. Maybe his qualities now have become more brilliant in the spiritual sky. Thank you all very much. Did you want to say something? Okay.